Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on Fired Up with CJ, I have J. Richard Knapp, publisher of the International Bully Prevention Newsletter, who is a former elementary school principal, a college teacher, and an author of five books, including his newest book that is coming out called Nowhere to Hide. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on because we had an earlier show on bullying, but it was from a person who had been bullied. It was from his perspective versus a principal's perspective. So I'm really interested to hear your perspective. And I know you've had, you've had incidents with bullying yourself, right, personally?
Yes.
Yeah, and tell us about that.
Well, you know, for me, I think I'm coming from the fact I've both been bullied, and I've also experienced being a principal working with children that are either bullies or have been bullied or bystanders. Mm-hmm. But for me, it all began many years ago. Kind of fun to tell the story. In 1960, I was very close to my grandfather, my mother's dad. And this one day, he asked me to walk out to the garden with him. And he was digging out some potatoes, and he looked up at me and he said, Jim, if two people, even 20 people, did something wrong, is it wrong?
Yeah.
And I always kind of knew these conversations when my grandfather started, because hidden somewhere in the middle of this was going to be some lesson to be listened to. And I told him, I said, it wouldn't matter. Two or 20 is wrong. And he put his shovel in and dug some more potatoes out, and he looked back at me again, and he said, what if 200 people did something wrong? And I stared at him because I knew for sure now that we were having a lesson of some sorts. Yeah, and I told him, I said, it's wrong. Then he looked up at me and he said, what if 2,000 people do something wrong? I told him, I said, Grandpa, I said, it doesn't matter how many people do something wrong. Wrong is wrong. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know at that moment what was in his mind and such, but 2 weeks later from that, well kept away from an 11-year-old boy, I found out that my parents were losing everything. We lost our home, our furniture. Basically, there was nothing left for us to take other than our few clothes and some other things. We had to leave the security of our little town and move to a city where my father tried to find work, build a new future. And it must have been that I was a beacon to every bully that was out there.
Oh.
I was frightened. I had been very outgoing before that. Academically, very good student. Even that I didn't want to seem to share. And it was just like being lost in a forest. So the first day of school, I go over to the school. It was a middle school. And I stood by the doors, and this is something that is very common with victims of bullying. They will try to find a place where they're kind of out of the edge of most people, but feel secure enough being out there. So I stood there in my very poor clothing, and looked down at my toes, but secretly I was looking through my hair at people around me, very frightened. Turns out that three young girls came by, and one of them stopped when she got across from me and looked at me, and her first things out of her mouth was, "Ew, he looks so poor." And they kind of laughed and giggled, and you can imagine the horrible experience that was running through my mind, as I've never been treated that way. And you have to remember, this is before school even started. Well, she went on to say some pretty hurtful things, and then the three girls slipped into these giant doors of the school. It wasn't long before, and the bell rang, and I waited till most everybody was in front of me before I entered the building. I knew where my first class was, but I didn't want to be in front or in the middle of people, so I was kind of hiding out in the back. Unfortunately for me, I also was very nervous and found myself having to go use the restroom. I slipped into one across the hallway from my first class, and out of nowhere, these three large kids walked in. One of them grabbed me by the back of my coat, shirt, and threw me into the sink. I fell to the floor. My books fell. This large kid picked up my stuff, threw it towards the toilet, called me names, and then laughed at me as the other two boys that were watching were laughing as well. And they left the room. I was sitting there, and I was looking in the mirror. Eventually, I got on my feet and crying. And all I could think was how angry I was that we had moved from our security of our home that had been raised in, and within 5 minutes, it had been attacked several times. This went on for the next 3 months. And so it was that I still remember thinking, I can't wait to Christmas. Maybe I'll get to go and see my family from my grandparents and other people, because every day was just a nightmare. Never ending, never stopping. That was the beginning of what I lived through for several years.
Not it a makes fun my experience. Heart ache. I mean, when you think about it, does it still make your heart ache just telling the story, or is it, oh, it's just so painful to hear?
You know, I'm used to saying it, but I still feel uncomfortable because I see those things. But it also creates a passion in me that I don't want other people to experience it. Mm-hmm. And there's no need for it. It should not happen in our society. And so, it's one of those situations you kind of look at and you say, why? You know, and most people don't know that until I wrote the book Bobby's Story, my mother, my father had passed away earlier, none of them had known this happened. Oh. And the reason was we were trying so hard to survive, the three of us as a family, I felt that they couldn't handle one more problem, so I made sure they never knew. That was a bad decision. Now I teach parents and kids alike, never, never do what I did. Yeah. You must talk to somebody and trust somebody.
Yeah, it's. I think what's interesting about your story too is that there are so many parts to the story, right? There's the victim, there are the bullies, and then there are the people who watch idly by, and then the parents, right? And also the school, which I don't know what the school did in your particular instance, if they even knew that for that 3 months that you were being, you know, beat up all the time or not. Did the school know anything, or did they?
No, you know, actually, not telling mom and dad, I never shared with them even. Mm. I really didn't know what to do. I'd never seen it in my life up to that point. Where I was at in the community, I was a popular kid. I love sports. I love learning and reading, writing, those kind of things. It just had not happened in my life. I was totally a victim that didn't even see it up to that moment.
Well, how old were you when this happened? I can't remember.
I was actually almost 12 when it happened. I was just going into middle school. At that time, we called them junior high schools. And so it was at a point when you're changing both mentally and physically. You know, there was one experience I had, and I tell people about it. At Christmas, my father took on an extra job. He would go to work every night at about 11 so and work for two or three hours into the night. And he would walk because our car didn't work, and unfortunately got really cold right up there right before Christmas. And he got me the only gift that was given at Christmas, and it was a coat. I didn't have one.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
when I came back from Christmas break, the very first day, I had a very difficult situation that happened. My teacher in my last class wanted to talk to me and said, would you please stay after class? I didn't want to do that because I was used to getting out of the building quickly so I wouldn't be caught by the bullies. And so it was a protective technique that I'd used. Well, it turns out the teacher wanted to talk to me, and it was a good thing until I walked out the door. And the three boys that had bullied me from that one moment on were waiting. When I got down the hallway, the biggest one wanted to take my jacket from me. And obviously, yeah, it couldn't have fit him in a million years, but it was just the meanness of it.
All right, so unfortunately, we have to go on a break. I'm so sorry. I want to hear the rest of the story. J. Richard Knapp, author of a new book, Hot Off the Presses, Nowhere to Hide, a book which helps us to better understand what bullying is and what we as a community and family can do about it. I'm Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, I'm hearing more about Richard's Jim's story, and then also getting a clarity on what is bullying exactly. If you want to know more about J. Richard or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com or napstory.com. That's K-N-A-P-P story.com. We'll be right back.
TalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented VacuPractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their VacuPractor.
The VacuPractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my VacuPractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the VacuPractor a try.
VacuPractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95, and you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The VacuPractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the VacuPractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit VacuPractor.com.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever.
In case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to J. Richard Knapp, the publisher of the International Bully Prevention Newsletter and the author of Nowhere to Hide, a book on bullying prevention. I'm Fired Up with CJ today. So before we took a break, you were telling us this story about how your dad had bought you a new coat, and you were wearing this coat as some bullies, your tormentors, approached you again as you were trying to get out of the school quickly after having a meeting with your teacher. Tell us what happened afterwards.
Well, the largest one, what I would call the lead bully, if you want to say, he tried to reach out to take it, and I went over that edge that some people do, and I hit him as hard as I could in the stomach. Now, I'm very little compared to him, and I look in his face, and I realize all I've done is made him angry. Mm. And his face turned red, and I figured the next thing was he was going to hurt me pretty serious. And I bolted out those doors, and I ran down the stairs as fast as I could go, knowing full well they were probably right behind me. And I ran the block and a half at full speed to my house. As I entered the door and turned around, they were right behind me. Oh. When I walked in, Mom looked at me and said, "Is something wrong?" And I said, "No, nothing's wrong." But I ended up having to run home every day after that for the remainder of the year.
Oh.
It never stopped.
So they would chase you after school then, back to your house, every single day.
They looked for me so many different places. It was just a daily attack.
Ugh. Well, I mean, so let's go to this segment is really about what is bullying. I mean, so how would you describe, I mean, the typical behavior of a bully?
Okay. Let's start, actually, I'm going to give them kind of a piece here that when we look at bullying, what separates from others? And then
okay,
we'll come
cool,
back
yeah.
Look at the victim and the bully themselves.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
CJ, what we look for is this something that the victim didn't want to have happening? Now, that sounds silly, but when we're looking to see if an act is bullying, we want to make sure right away that the victim never wanted this to happen.
Right.
And it's a very important piece. Sometimes in small children, we find out the victim has played a role. And then we got to continue to look deeper. But the second area we look for
Wait, can you go back? Give me an example of how the victim would play a role in it and when they kind of wanted it to happen, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't say they wanted it to happen, but let's say they were playing soccer and they're both 8-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
They're both kicking at the ball and suddenly one gets kicked and gets hurt and then claims that they've been bullied.
Okay, got it. Yep.
Yes, that's not bullying.
Okay, got it.
And even if the person did it on purpose, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bullying. And that's an important piece to it. The second one is we look to see if the person that's being targeted, the victim, are they incapable of defending themselves? Because often with our victims, they have no way, just like me when I was young, I had no way of protecting myself from these guys. Just wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Third piece is the behavior repeating? Now, if something happens the first time, it's bad behavior and should be disciplined, but it may not be bullying if it's not happening on repeated situations. So in the case of these guys, they were attacking me almost daily. That was a repeated behavior happening over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say two kids are outside and one gets angry at the other and starts threatening. That's bad behavior and it's wrong, but it's not necessarily bullying because it's not repeated. Here's the one I tell people, I think to me is the one that really deals it out. In bullying, it's about power. It's about dominance over someone else. And if you don't see the power aspect of it and the dominance, you may not have bullying going on, but you may have some very serious behaviors that need to be dealt with. The next piece is that you look to see, is the bully gaining some kind of satisfaction from the hurt and suffering they're causing?
What does that look like? Yeah. I just can't even imagine being satisfied after punching someone. Are they like, ha ha? I mean, what does the satisfaction form take?
You know, it's sad, but that's exactly what it looks like. Is that somebody has hurt somebody and they absolutely enjoy it. And if they have bystanders feeding into them, they get even more satisfaction from the bystanders doing that. So there is satisfaction when they hurt somebody or cause suffering. And it could be nothing more than a mental satisfaction that they did something to hurt.
Yeah, like a little smug smile or something like that.
Yeah, and it's very common for them. They want to try to create a situation of exclusion, intimidation, and hostility.
They're wanting to create that. They want to. The bully wants to create exclusion, hostility.
Yes.
What was the other one? It's so foreign to me. So they wanted to. They want to create exclusion, hostility, and what else?
Intimidation.
Okay.
Essentially what they want to do, they want to isolate their victim from everybody else. And by the way, this isn't just children. This is adults too. We see many of these same things in the workplace now.
Why does the bully want these things? Why do they want exclusion, hostility, and intimidation? So just to get power and dominance? Is that how you create power and dominance?
They believe that in their mind. They don't see that the opposite creates as much acceptance and reward from the people they live around. And so this is one way. Now, remember that just recently, 2 months ago, the CDC, Center for the Disease Control, came out with some important research that just said the family link, how these kids were raised, is playing a vital role in them becoming bullies and victims. So we got to look to the family as part of that problem. So yeah. Let's say this boy or girl who's bullying out there may have some direct links backwards on how they were treated and the kind of lives they've experienced up to this point.
Yeah, let's talk about that in the third segment because I want to talk a little bit more about bullying. And I don't know whether you finished. You talked about what is a bully, and you mentioned, you know, the three kind of questions that you asked to qualify whether it's bullying. And you've talked mostly about boy bullying, but does girl bullying, is that different? Does it feel and sound and act different? Because I don't remember. I remember pulling hair as a little girl, but I don't remember. You know, but I don't know if girls start beating each other up anymore. It seems like girls are a little bit different, right?
Yes. The female bullies typically are going to use verbal and, let's say, techniques like putting an image out, drawing a picture, sending a text message. These tend to be now the girls' technique of the 21st century. The boys in the early ages, when I say early, I'm thinking about children up through the early part of teen, they tend to be more physical in their aggressiveness. And boys also will have no problem attacking a girl as well as a boy. Now, with girls, it's quite the opposite. They rarely will go towards the physical, but they have no problem going towards the social side of setting up situations, rumors, lies, making friends with somebody and taking a picture, putting it on the internet. There's some very tough areas there that girls get into. And often when you hear these cases of kids being harassed on the internet, you'll find females involved in some of those areas.
And are they working on the same principles of exclusion, hostility, or intimidation, or something else? I mean, it seems more like shaming or something slightly different.
You know, actually, they're at their happiest when they do create exclusion and intimidation. So, you know, when I talked about those few things we talked about a moment ago, yes, it fits a girl as well as a boy. It also fits our adults, females, and our adult males.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And how does it... Well, I want to ask you a little bit more about this when we get back in terms of how it varies. And we talked a little bit about middle school versus elementary versus high school and beyond. But do you have a quick summary of what that, how bullying, what forms it takes over time, a child's life? And I know it's from adults, but focusing on school, what form does it take over time?
Not quite sure I understood the question. You want to try
again? So if I looked at a bullying in elementary school, a bully in middle school, a bully in high school, how would they differ? Or is it pretty much the same?
No.
Kind of behaviors?
Yeah, you're right. They are very different. Let's say a bully in elementary school is more aggressive, like I was talking about, and up through maybe the middle years of middle school. And then towards high school, you tend to see a number of the both male and females quit, but their techniques change. Now they become more attacking at the social level. Mm. Adults is often connected to the adult workplace and the threats of the people that are working with them.
Okay, interesting. So, J. Richard Knapp, publisher of the International Bully Prevention Newsletter and author of Nowhere to Hide, a book of bullying prevention. I'm Fired Up with CJ today. Up next, how can parents and schools prevent bullying? If you want to know more about J. Richard Knapp or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj or www.knappstory.com. That's K-N-A-P-P story.com. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability. disability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, author J. Richard Knapp, who has a new book out on bullying entitled Nowhere to Hide. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you. Jim Richard.
I'm confused. All right, so I wanted to talk about, you know, previous to this, we had a phone call, and you said that bullying is a community issue. And in the previous segment, you mentioned that that really one of the things that we're finding out more and more is that the primary responsibility for bullying is in families and with parents. Even though there are things like laws being created on the state and federal level, there's, you know, district bullying policies and now laws, but the primary responsibility is with parents. Why?
Well, you know, in all my work, whether it be the bullying prevention newsletter, when I speak and when I talk to people, I always start out that there are six basic elements to really prevent bully from happening. And that's got to occur at the family level. Now, the first one is dignity. And as my grandfather always told me, you have to behave yourself in a dignified manner at all times, with all people, in all circumstances. You can't turn it on and off like a faucet. That parallels the point two, the second element, which is respect. Respect is how you treat others. And again, you have to respect all people at all times without exception. The third element is understanding. And this is one that I think in our society we could use a lot of doing better. And it's called the understanding piece, where you look at somebody and you actually listen to them. You may not agree with them, but you find out what they're thinking and how they came to those thoughts, and you learn to understand them better. Now, for my childhood, I think my parents did a good job with 4, 5, and 6. One of the things they taught me was calmness, how to remain calm even in difficult situations. And this is a skill you start with your children when they're very young, and you continually build on it. No matter what the circumstance is, trying to always bring them to a point where they calm down. It is amazing because, see, bullies don't want you to be calm. They want you to be excited and reactive. The next step is compassion. And this is a place that I believe in firmly. We must be more compassionate people, and we need to do actions that reflect compassion. The last one is called equilibrium. And basically what that's about, and it's a very technical sense, you don't do this with your children when they're young, you do it when they're older, in their teens. But it's when you take two points of view, which are totally the opposite, and you find an agreement that both of you can live with. And as you look at things like negotiations, whether it be in the real world of business and that, that's a classic example of it. But that foundation of those six elements is the difference between success and failure in so many different areas as our children are growing up. A lot to think about.
Yeah, so but it seems like you got calmness, compassion, equilibrium from your parents. I mean, I'm looking back at your own individual story, you know, when you moved to moved from the country to the city. And it seemed like your grandfather gave you a lot of dignity, respect, and understanding. I mean, what weren't you equipped with that didn't allow you to make that transition?
You know, at 12 years of age, the one thing that probably I wasn't ready for was being attacked, both physically. I think the mental part, I was adequate but not great, but the physical, somebody actually trying to hurt me. I didn't have the skills to deal with that. And the most important thing that I didn't know was go get help from an adult, whether it be my parent or somebody at the school. I didn't have that skill. I didn't know what to do. I was totally lost.
So it was a shock of someone physically hitting you then. That was a kind of,
yes.
Oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? Like there was, you're like defense, tack. Is it because no, I mean, I assume no one ever hit you. So it's like, well, I don't know what to do. I've never been hit before.
I couldn't imagine the people around me wouldn't even help.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't that I was always by myself. Sometimes I was other people and the bystanders absolutely ignored it as if nothing was happening.
Mm.
You know, and now I understand it. They were more in fear of the fact they didn't know what to do and they didn't want to get attacked themselves. That was going through their minds.
Yeah, so how can a parent prevent something like that, though? I mean, because to me, that seems to be the most shocking part. I mean, you're not expecting someone to clobber you in the middle of the school day or with friends around you. I mean, that's shocking.
The thing I really work hard with our young people and our parents alike when I'm working with them is the belief that you've done nothing wrong. Do not accept what's going on. You go get help. If the person you go to you feel is not helping you, you go to a second person, but you never stop till you finally get somebody who helps you. Now, on the adult side, I tell them, whether it be a parent or a teacher or somebody that's working with this kid, I tell them, I say, you can't fail. If they have taken the effort and the trust to come to you, you must help them through the situation from beginning to end. Failure is not accepted in this case.
And what does good help look like?
You know,
I've seen so many teachers do nothing. Wait, sorry, go ahead.
Now, if I'm mom and dad, I'm going to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to find out what's going on. I'm not going to sit back and say, you know, boys will be boys and girls will be girls and let things happen. Not going to do that. I'm going to go talk to the teacher. I will talk to whoever I need to get some answers. But the most important thing is when your child trusts you, you've got to follow through. Now, if I'm a teacher and this little kid comes up to me or a teen comes up to me, the same thing holds true. Well, you're not going to sit there and look at this person and say, well, just take care of it. Don't worry about it. Just ignore them. That's not going to work. And they're not going to trust you again as an adult to help them.
In the vast majority of cases, I understand, when they happen at school, it's either after school, like in your case, where you're like running after school back to your house, or it's during playground, during recess, or transition in classrooms in the hallway. I mean, what should a teacher do or say when someone approaches them? You know, someone was bugging me on the playground, or so-and-so was pushing me into the lockers. What should the teacher's response be?
Well, first of all, I would say that I think the last time I checked, 46 of the 50 states now have very clear bullying laws. So from those laws, school districts derive their policies, and policies then extend downwards to teachers. I would say without checking too close, virtually every school in this country is guided by what a teacher must do and how they must react. They can't ignore it. Now, we've got to continue to work with our educators on being more educated on what it is. Sometimes they ignore it with the kid not saying anything. And what I want them to do is to be better at seeing what's going on. For example, our research tells us right now, as adults, not just teachers, but parents alike, we only see maybe one-tenth or less of what is happening to our children. So if that be true, think of how much bullying is happening that we as adults are not aware of unless our children talk to us or our teens.
Right.
It's a huge number. So that's the key to it. Now, the other part I tell teachers in this case where we're our discussion, I tell them that when you find out that this is going on or you suspect it, do not put the bully and the victim together at the same time. Can you imagine the fear that must go through a victim's head and they're sitting there with the bully looking at them?
Do you realize that almost every instance that I've ever heard has the bully and the victim at the same time?
Well, I know. But, you know, I'm sitting there one day as a principal. They send these two kids to my office. One's a victim, one's a bully. And I happened to step around the corner where I could watch. I was amazed at how intimidating the bully was on the victim, threatening that if you say anything, I'm going to beat you up after school.
Right, absolutely.
But for me, it made it easy because right then I had him.
Yeah, absolutely. What else? I mean, what else should, what other little rules like that? Because that's such an obvious one, but I think one that most people forget about.
Well, you know, I think both community and schools need to look at the activities that they have going on, and are they breeding grounds, if you want to call it, for bullying? There's certain things that we can do out there that absolutely fit well to what the bully wants. Mm. You know, good supervision, no matter where you're at, the mall, the school, and the family, is one of the best answers to stopping bullying.
Okay, and I want to hear what those things are in terms of breeding things, what things we shouldn't stop, what kind of activities we should sustain from when we get back from the break. Author J. Richard Knapp, who has a new book out on bullying, Nowhere to Hide, and the publisher of the International Bully Prevention Newsletter on Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, what are some next steps that we should take as parents or administrators or otherwise? You want to know more about J. Richard or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with a Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with a Deal.
Radio, radio, tell me what I wanna know. I've been
all night. Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, J. Richard Knapp, the author of a new bully prevention book, Nowhere to Hide, talking about steps that you should take if you think your child is a bully or you feel like your child is being bullied, is a victim of a bully. During the last segment, you had and talked about things that schools could do, too, to help. And one of the things that you mentioned is, you know, if you think that you have a bullying situation, there are certain activities at school that you should really not be doing. What did you mean by that?
Well, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say not just school, but it can be in a lot of places. Any kind of an activity where children are at. Well, for me, here's a classic example. As I was growing up, I had a teacher who decided to play the game dodgeball. Now, the way the teacher designed the game was that they used these small red rubber balls that were probably the size of your palm of your hand. So that meant you could throw them really hard. And because of the design of the balls, if they hit you, it hurt. It left marks. So the bully and all of his or her buddies gets on the other team, and what they do is they get everybody out except for the person they want to target. Now imagine 10 or 12 of them lined up with the victim as the only person left on the court. Now victims figure it out really quick. They eventually go find a ball that's hardly moving, let it hit them, and they get off the court as quick as they can. But I remember watching this once with my own eyes and how they targeted a kid. And when they hit him, he was just like little red marks everywhere across his skin, his legs. There's no reason for that. We shouldn't be providing activities or situations where the bullying can do this kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's shocking. I mean, and it's so obvious, but it's one of those things that we do. You don't think about. Dodgeball seems like such an innocent game. But my understanding why that particular game is not a good activity, it's because it's one in which one person is singled out at the end, right?
Well, yeah, you know, when I was a principal, teachers would ask me if they could play it. And I said, you all know I'm not a fan of it. But if you're going to play it, you have to play with a Nerf ball. Now, right. Everybody knows a Nerf ball couldn't hurt you in a million years. Well, maybe, but the point was it took away the part of the game that some people thought was valuable, and my answer was we don't model and promote activities that allow the bullying to exist.
Right. Not going to do another that. Person could get physically harmed. One person can be singled out and then physically harmed in front of someone because it's part of the game. Oh, my God.
But, you know, I saw a second one that was, again, one that people don't realize. You've got a large room with a bunch of kids, could be teens, could be younger age people. They're having an activity going on, but it's only being supervised from one adult. In the midst of that, we allow the bully to get away with stuff because the adult can't see past the large amount of bodies that are moving about. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be a classroom activity. That could be something that's being done away from schools. That's why I keep saying it. Supervision is critical because the minute you let up that supervision, the bully is watching you, and the bully is thinking, aha, can he or she get away with what they're wanting to do? Very tough situation.
It is hard. I mean, our school had this incident, and they had to ramp up playground support. And even with ramped up playground support, you know, let's say they have three extra people, you still have only 3/10 vision, right?
Right.
If one person has 1/10, then you're still just, you know, but it's better than 1/10 vision. But still, it's a hard problem for you know, resource constrained schools to figure out how to staff appropriately. Because even in the best case, where you have 3 people on recess, it's still very hard, you know.
Well, those 3 people also have to be in constant mobility. Their eyes must be up all the time looking. That's the secret to that supervision, not to get caught with your eyes looking down. You want to be seeing what's going on and always moving.
Yeah, and I think that I'm not sure if they're doing that, but that's a really good tip. And then, also when kids bring problems to them, I'm not sure if it's like, you know, if it's kind of dismissed or if it's like handled or if the person is interrogated. I'm not sure what the right thing for someone who even notices these things. What is the right thing that they should be doing? I don't know.
You know, and one of my friends developed a program that actually what teaches young people is to separate big problems from little problems. And so what the teacher tries to do is to really focus heavy on big problems, and that's where bullying is, when you're talking about those kind of issues. And then the little ones like Johnny didn't share or Susie didn't give him the jump rope, that's not something the teacher should be jumping and reacting to really quick. They need to listen to the kid. They need to try and help, but they've got to be aware of what's going on, because those big problems are where they want to be ready to go.
Right, great advice. Two great pieces of advice. How about for parents, if you think your child is being bullied, what are some steps that you can take or some things? I know you talked about your six basic elements. What else should you
be doing? Well, you know, as I said before, that's the starting point that you want to be working from, is the foundation. Because, see, that's a proactive piece, not a reactive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to get in there and try to make it not happen. But when it does, then you as a parent need to model those same six elements. And the one that I think of the quickest is you got to stay calm. Mm-hmm. When our children are attacked, we as moms and dads get very upset. Yeah. And at that point, we may not really be looking and listening to what's going on as best we can. So the first thing I do with a parent is tell them, be calm, but be be right in there and don't give up till you know the answers to your questions. Mm. Stay focused. But when they lose control and they're in tears or anger, then often their effectiveness is diminished very quickly.
Yeah. How about for if you think your child is a bully?
You know, that's one of the toughest. I often tell the story of two parents. I got the one parent who comes at and just explodes, anger, says they're going to sue you, or they're going to sue the other kid, or they may even turn that anger on their own child and be harsh. But often they don't really follow through with the long part of helping that child who's a bully. The other parent is the one who says, well, I'll do something, but never does. And in both cases, if your child is a bully, you've got to get in there and start working at that. And I tell people, this is the time to bring in some counseling. This is not a time to think you're going to fix it all on your own.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't. I mean, we had a bully in our school, and I'm pretty sure they did not go to counseling. They went into a state of denial do something and never do. Yeah, it's interesting. What a wonderful program. Thank you so much. I feel like I've learned a ton. I can't wait for all schools to listen to this and parents alike, because I think that there's so many helpful tips and just perspective that you have as a principal. So thank you for sharing your story. And thank you, Chris, out there for pre-recording the show on WBLQ. Folks, have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.